Let's turn again to the Word of God, this time to Revelation and chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Begin at verse 4, read a few verses down to the end of verse 11. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests and unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Amen. Thank the Lord for the reading of his word, this short passage. And let's ask his help as we consider it together. Our gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst direct our thoughts and meditations for this short time this evening. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless our hearts as we consider him. And we are bidden in the scripture to consider him and to consider him who did indeed endure contradiction of sinners against himself, the beginning and the ending, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, bless our hearts and souls tonight, we pray thee. And Lord, bring forth thy word to us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to think with you upon these words, this title which is given to the Lord here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Probably all of you know, maybe not everybody, but most of you, if not all of you, know that Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And it speaks of the A to Z. I am the A to Z. I am the beginning and I am the ending. Perhaps the signification of using the words alpha, the words or letters Alpha and Omega is that he is the Word. And Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the revelation of God. He is God speaking unto us. We read in Hebrews in chapter 1 that God, who in sundry times, in divers manners, spake unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or in his Son. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the very revelation of God to us. But he is not just the revelation of God, he is to us in the fact of speaking to us, but he is the revelation of all things to us. He is the central figure of the whole of the scriptures, from the first verse of Revelation to the end. John makes a point of that when he begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, right at the very beginning of creation. He is there before us. At the end of the whole of the book of scripture, we read these words. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the beginning and the ending, and everything in between. Beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, he expounded unto them all things concerning himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ is everything that we have need of. That's what I want to consider with you this evening. So we will begin with that thought of Revelation and say that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega of Revelation. The Alpha and Omega of Revelation. He is indeed the source of Revelation. All that is revealed to us of God and in the scriptures come from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the inspirer of the Word. He is indeed the Word. Everything that he speaks is the Word of God. And yet he makes very clear to us that we are to consider his word in a particular way, that we are to go back to the scriptures and see that which is written. In Jeremiah, I was just reading it this afternoon, but I didn't take a note of the verse, so I won't try and find it now, or not even the chapter, but I won't try and find it now. But in Jeremiah, it says something along the lines of, the prophets say, I have dreamed a dream, I have dreamed a dream. But God says, is not my word greater than a dream? You see, the word of God is our foundation. We come back to the word of God to test all things. The word of God is a revelation to us that we might build with a certainty and a surety upon what God himself has said. There are many who seek to build their understanding upon their own observations. People will say, well, when I've seen it with my own eyes, then I'll believe it. But can we trust our eyes? People see all kinds of things. People see things which are not there. We've spoken before in this church of those who have a particular disease of the eye, which causes them to see things like angels or imps or whatever it may be, and it's caused by a problem with the actual eye so that they can't see properly. We know in the scripture it speaks of those who could not see, and the Lord Jesus Christ healed them so that they could see. Remember the man who began to see and said, I see men as trees walking. Can we really trust our eyes? As one has said, what we see, we understand because we have an image already in our minds of what that thing is. When we look at a pew for the first time, we might wonder what it is, but we connect it to other images, an image of a chair. We think it's got padding on it. It has stands at either side. It's about the right height. And so we use an image. But that's in our memory. How good are our memories? My memory certainly is not particularly wonderful. But we are trusting things which we really ought not to say we can trust them 100%. But what we can trust is God. For God knoweth all things. From before the foundation of the world, he knows all things, and there is nothing that he does not know. And he created us in his image that he might communicate these things to us. And he does so in the word of God, so that we can build upon the foundation of the word of God and be sure that those things which he has revealed are true. But Jesus Christ himself is that source of revelation. We read again, in the beginning was the Word. We read here of the letters, the Alpha and Omega. But Jesus Christ is not only the source of revelation, he is also the subject of revelation. He is the subject of revelation. The whole of the scripture speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end. When we consider the kings, we either see those who are taken as a picture of righteousness or those who really defile the image of God in themselves. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that kings and lords will be cast down because they have defiled his image. Just as we also, when we consider us being made in the image of God, will be judged in the sense that we are the image of God and we have defiled it. And the world looks upon us and they don't see God in us. They see uncleanness. We have defiled that image which is of him. Of course, when we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps we'll just turn to Hebrews and chapter 1 just for a moment and see what it says there concerning the Lord. Remember that when Jesus Christ comes into the world, the Lord, or the Father from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He is pleased with Christ because the image is undefiled in him. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 it says, and we've quoted this already, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The brightness of his glory, the effulgence of his glory. When we look at the sun, well, we ought not to look at the sun, I suppose, because it's dangerous, but if we were to look at the sun, what do we see? We see its glory. We don't actually see the sun, we see its glory. We see the light which comes from it. And Christ is that glory. It is the revelation of the God of heaven in perfection. We have been tempted in all points and failed. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But Christ is the subject of revelation. In fact, the heading of this very book, if you look at it, it begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And the whole of the scripture is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, in John's Gospel in chapter 5, we see how the Lord himself uses this as he speaks to the people around him. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, there we read these words. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. They are they which testify of me. Of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, they search the scriptures, for law, that they might do this and they might do that, but they missed out the fact of the salvation from the law. They've mentioned a couple of times just recently concerning Leviticus and how that Leviticus is a book which often we miss out because we look at it as being the law and it seems to be very harsh. But we ought really to look upon it as being the gospel because the sacrifices which are made allow the unclean to approach unto God. It is a picture of Christ all the way through that we might see that Christ Jesus is that great sacrifice for sin, being offered once for all. He is the subject of revelation because the scriptures testify of him, and he is the substance of revelation. The substance of revelation. Remember what Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the truth. We search for truth. Men search for truth. Some in this day and age say there is no such thing as truth. There is only an approximation which we might use for the time being until more evidence comes forth, and then we change that approximation and we just change with the times as more information comes to us. But that's not what God says. God says there is a truth. There is an absolute truth. And Jesus says, I am that truth. I am that truth. See, when we trust in Christ, there we stand upon one who is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who gives forth the glory of God, who said in Malachi 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because God does not change. Christ does not change. He is the Alpha and the Omega of revelation. We can begin at the beginning of the scriptures and read through and read of Christ and glorify his name. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega of creation because he is the creator of all things. Again, we've read in John's Gospel in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. He is the one who created the heaven and the earth. If you turn over to Colossians for a moment, Colossians and the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And we'll begin at verse 15, in fact, because that fits in with what we've already said. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For by him were all things created. He is the creator of all things. He has made the heaven and the earth. He is the Alpha of the heaven and the earth. He is the one who is before all things, who has created all things, who has set up all things. We can turn to him who understands all things of this earth. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, again we read, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And these things are spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. There in verse 8 we see the comment of the writer to the Hebrews saying, "But unto the Son he saith," and there are those words, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth." He is the Alpha, but he was also the Omega, because all of these things shall wax old as doth a garment, it says, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." At the beginning, here is Christ. At the end, there is Christ. And we read together from Matthew 25, it is Christ who sits in judgment upon the earth. It is he who has overseen all things from the beginning to the end. It is he who has revealed himself to men that they might be redeemed and might be saved. The Alpha and Omega. He is the sustainer of all things also. In Colossians chapter 1, there that we've just read together, and I should have kept open but didn't. In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." By him all things consist. See, the Lord upholds all things by the word of his power. He is the one who controls all things. He is the one who causes them to continue. He is the one who sustains all things. Jonathan Edwards once preached a message, very famous, and some of you at least will have heard of it, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And how that a sinner in his hands rails in his face, spits in his face, rejects him, curses him. But his hands hold that sinner above the pit of hell. And in a moment, he can let him go. His life will be ended, the judgment will be set, and he will be lost. It is Christ who sustains us moment by moment, keeps the beating of our heart going. He is him, the sustainer of all things. And he's the judge of all things. We read in the scripture of that great white throne. But in Matthew 25, we read of that judgment, and the Lord Jesus has said, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son." In Matthew 25, we have read that together, but we'll turn back to it and just look at a couple of verses from the midst. Matthew 25 and verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. It is Christ. Christ is the judge of all things, because Christ hath created all things, and to him shall we all answer. Do you understand that your life is in the hands of Christ? Even this moment, as you sit, whatever your age may be, whatever strength you may seem to have, in a moment, the heart can stop. In a moment, we can stand before him. It is he who sustains us. It is he who sustains you. But thank God he is further than the Alpha and Omega of Revelation and the Alpha and Omega of creation. He is the Alpha and Omega of salvation. The Alpha and Omega of salvation. Because he is the instigator of salvation. We turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 8. We'll go from verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Slain from the foundation of the world. Now we know that Christ is the founder of the world. He is the creator of the world. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made which was made. But from the foundation of the world, it is Christ who has the book, the Lamb's book of life, that we might have our names written in it. It is he who delivers us from sin. No doubt we've thought before of the fact that Christ is the judge upon that great throne. He separates the sheep from the goats. But Christ is also the Redeemer, and he knows his own. It is he who is the judge. And who better to know than the judge when we stand before him? But it is he also who has set these things before us that we might be saved. Some of you will know John Champion, who passed away just last week in Linslade. He was a justice of the peace, magistrate, sat in the courts. In fact, he was the chief magistrate in the court there in Linslade. And there were many occasions where people stood before him and he had to make a judgment, and there were many who were sent to prison. But John had a very strong social conscience, and even after he had sent many young men to prison, he would go and visit them in prison. And he would speak to them in the prison. And he would seek to work out things for them and to help them. But Christ has done this the other way around. He has come to us first. Before we enter into the prison, he says to us, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I will redeem you. I will cleanse you. I will justify you. That before you stand before the court of heaven, you will be made clean. You will be justified and you will go free." It is the Lamb who is slain from the foundation of the world. He has given himself. John, of course, couldn't take the judgment for those who stood before him, but he could seek to help them after the fact. But Christ is able to take the judgment for us before the fact and to deliver us from that very justice which fell upon him instead of upon us if we are his. In Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 4, we read, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And again in verse 14 it says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The salvation which the Lord has wrought for us, that we might be delivered from the judgment of God. We who have defiled that glorious creation which he made, and having looked upon it at the end of creation, pronounced it very good, and we have made it unclean. We have made it filthy, until in the day of the Lord the heavens and the earth will flee away from his face and will be destroyed, and God will make a new heaven and a new earth. The old is beyond redemption, but he creates it again. And we, if we are Christ's, will live with him for eternity. In 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 20, 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, there we read, "For who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Foreordained before the foundation of the world. The Alpha of salvation. He is there right at the beginning. It is through Christ that our salvation is set forth, that we might be saved. He is the Alpha also as our forerunner. Turn to Hebrews in chapter 2. He goes into the veil before us. In Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 10, we read there, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." He is our captain. He is made a captain in suffering. He dies in our place, in our stead. He is the firstborn. In resurrection, we read it together from Colossians chapter 1. The firstborn from the dead. It is he who has come first. It is he who has suffered first. It is he who redeems us. He is our Alpha. And again in Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 18, we read there that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. You have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is our forerunner. He has entered in. He has gone before. He is raised from the dead. Because he is raised from the dead, we have a strong consolation. Because he has given us these great and blessed promises, two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. He makes the oath as well as making the statement. Of course, God does not lie, cannot lie. He is the truth. So the statement is the first immutable thing. It cannot be changed and will not be changed. But just to set it clearly in our heads, he takes an oath. And he can't take an oath upon anything greater than himself. So he takes an oath by his own name, that by two immutable things we might have a strong consolation. How wonderful that the Alpha of our salvation has gone before us into glory. Both resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. That we also might know that this is the path for every child of God. A resurrection to come and an ascension into glory, that we might be with him forever. And finally, the fulfillment. The fulfillment. Because he is the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation, the beginning and the end of it. In Revelation chapter 19, there we read of the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation 19, verse 5. "And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." The Lamb's wife. There is a purpose, you see, in Christ Jesus. There is a purpose from the very beginning, in the very laying of the foundation of redemption in Christ, to becoming the Lamb's wife, to being in the presence of God and of the holy angels for eternity, the servants of the Lord our God. The fulfillment. He is the end. He is the purpose, as well as the way. We thank the Lord for so great a salvation. In Revelation 21 and verse 22, there we read, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nation into it. He is the end. He is the Omega, the Alpha and Omega of salvation. We press on towards him. He is the light. And we walk in the light, in the presence of the Lord our God, as we have walked in the light in this world. But remember what John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But one day that sin will be gone, and we will stand in the presence of God. We will dwell with him in glory. We will serve him with great rejoicing. We will be in his presence, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And finally, Revelation 22 again in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the life and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega? Is he the Alpha in your life, the beginning? The Apostle Paul says, the life that I now live, I live for the Son of God. Is he first in our life? Jesus himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Is he the Alpha in your life? Is he the beginning in your life? Is he the first in your life? Will he be the last? When finally we breathe for a final time, we depart from this world into the presence of God, into the paradise of God, where we look upon his face and praise his name for all that he has done, for the way of salvation from the foundation of the world to the fulfillment of all things when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We say with John of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. May he bless his word to our hearts tonight.